to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. One of the great verses of the New Testament that I'm going to preach on tonight. And I'm going to ask you to help me and listen carefully. Just a few little simple thoughts from this verse tonight. If you're here tonight and you're not right with God, I hope and pray. I mean that. I hope and pray that you'll get right tonight before you leave. Amen. I want to make sure everybody can hear. Can you hear up under there? Y'all hear back there? Needs to be up? Up just right? Okay. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Need your attention for just a few minutes tonight and also your prayers. God will help me. I'm just an unworthy preacher standing here tonight. God will help me be able to say something that will help you. I don't claim to be nothing, but I do claim to know somebody who is something. Amen. Buddy, and that makes it worth it all. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I want to preach to you for just a few minutes on this verse tonight. The title of the message is One Law That You Can't Break. One man said, I broke every law in the book, preacher. No, you ain't either. Here's one you can't break. God has some fixed laws that cannot be broken. And I'm going to tell you about one law tonight that you can't break. It's God's law of reaping what you sow. It doesn't matter who you are, you're going to reap what you sow. I don't care how slick you are, how smart you are, you're going to reap what you sow. I don't care how much money you've got, you think you can buy your way out of anything, you're going to reap what you sow. You kids listening? You're going to reap what you're sowing right now. You're going to reap it. Comes back. The old timers used to say this. Old people used to say, you chickens come home to roost. And buddy, they do. Buddy, they do. There are some verses in the Bible that need no other proof but to just check them out beside our daily life. You might as well try to blot the sun out as get rid of this great truth here in the Word of God. D.L. Moody, a great preacher, was preaching on this verse one time. And he had a great big crowd of people, and he said, you're going to reap what you sow. You're going to reap what you sow. And they said, a man stood up in the back and said, I don't believe it. And the preacher looked back at him, and he said, that don't change it. You're still going to reap what you sow. And at the end of the service, there was an officer came in and arrested that man at the door. He was tried and sentenced to 12 years or months in prison for a crime that he'd done that he thought he'd got away with. Every once in a while I hear people say, somebody come to me and they'll say their wife's running around on them, or their husband's cheating on them, they'll say, Brother Danny, it's just not fair. They're going out there living like the devil and everything, and they're just getting away with it. And I want to tell you something. Nobody gets away with nothing. Nobody gets away with nothing. Just because they seem like they're getting away with it don't mean anything. It always comes back home sometime, someplace, somewhere. Whatever you plant in your garden of your life, you will reap someday. This thing is seen over and over and over and over in the Bible. As a matter of fact, if you don't believe me, you're starting in January, read your Bible. You'll read your Bible. You remember, just take any story you want to take. Any story you want to take. Take the story of Herod or Pharaoh killing the babies. And when Pharaoh killed the babies of Egypt, he killed all the Israelite babies, Jewish babies. He had them all killed and wanted them dead. Well, years and years and years went by. God come back. God destroyed the land of Egypt. And you know what God did? He killed Pharaoh's kids. And there was crying throughout all the land of Egypt. Jacob told a lie, wound up getting lied to. Jacob, you remember when Jacob went in and deceived his daddy? You remember that story in Genesis where his brother was a hairy man, he had smooth skin, and he glued this skin on his arm, and he went in, his daddy's blind, you know, and he said, "Give me a blessing." He said, "You don't sound like my son." He said, "Stick your arm out here." And he stuck his arm out. It felt just like Esau. He said, "Well, you must be." And he gave him his blessing. He tricked his dad. He tricked his dad. Well, you know what happened? Years and years and years and years went by. And Jacob was in another country working for a man. And he saw this pretty girl. And he said, "Whoa, I'm going to marry her." And he said, her name was Rachel. And Rachel was a very, very pretty lady. And he said, "I want to marry her." And he asked her daddy, he said, "How about letting me marry your daughter?" And he said, "All right." He said, "Work 7 years." 7 years, Jacob worked for that girl. And buddy, he worked and he worked. And the Bible said that he loved her so much that it seemed like a few days for him. You know, then ain't no telling what he wrote her letters. He called her every night. Oh, Lord, it's plumb sickening the way he does that. You know how a man does when he likes a woman. They say, like I told you the other day, he said, a man will say anything if he's doing three things. If a man's doing three things, he'll say anything. If he's drunk, or if he's in love, or running for office. That's right, man. A man that's drunk or in love or running for office say anything. And he told her, "Oh, I love you. I want to be with you. You're the prettiest thing I've ever seen in my life." That's what they all say, girls. Ain't that right? He told that to the last 15 he tried to mess up. And stupid girls believe it, you know. And boy, he just come on to them, you know. And he just said, oh, Rachel, you're just so beautiful. I just never felt like this before in my life. And I just want you and I just want to be with you. And all 7 years he had to work for her. And guess what? Rachel had an older sister named Leah. Now Leah, she is just kind of so-so. Matter of fact, she wasn't too hot. The Bible said Rachel was fair, but Leah was tender-eyed. Now I picture that, just poor little old young'un just was hard to look at. That's the way I imagine. I don't know that. But it seems that way to me. Have you ever seen some girls, they're what's called easy on the eyes. And others, man, they'd make a freight train take a back road. And that's the way I picture her. The girl, she just didn't have it. That's all there are to it. Now, I hate to say that, but the Bible said she just didn't have it. I mean, she is homely, man. She was Jeffrine. She was Jeffrine. That's what she was. And she might could cook. She might could make up the bed. She might could do the house. But this poor girl, it wasn't there. It just was not there. Well, time come along, and time for Jacob. 7 years went by. He said, "I want my wife. I want to marry my wife. I've waited on her for 7 years now. Give me my girl. My wedding done set up, and I'm going to marry her. Buddy, I can't wait. She's going to be my wife. I'm going to marry her." Well, you know what happened. He went ahead, had the wedding, married her, took her into her tent. Remember how they had a wedding ceremony back then? Next morning, he woke up, and the daylight was on, and he looked over, and she looked over and said, "Ha!" And it was Leah. And he went, "Ah! Lord, you look different with your makeup off." She said, "I ain't got no makeup on." He said, "That's what I'm saying. I didn't know you looked like this. Why didn't you let me see how you really look?" She said, "I didn't have none on last time you seen me." He said, "Honey, what has happened to you?" She said, "I'm Leah." Now, that's what the Bible says. To me, I have a hard time with that. That's hard to believe, ain't it? How could a man marry a woman, take her in and spend the night, and not even know who it was? They kept that thing over their face like this. They walked in there, and they came down, and boy, I tell you, they come in. I reckon she kept it on all night. I don't know. You had a bag over her head, man. I don't know. But maybe they did back then. I don't know how they done it. But somehow or another, he spent his honeymoon night with the wrong woman. Lord, you talk about a shock, man. I mean, you talk about a surprise. He went to her daddy, went back in there, he said, "I want to know what's going on here. You gave me the wrong girl." And daddy said, "Yeah, that's right. I gave the wrong girl." He said, "I worked 7 years for Rachel. Now, where's she at?" He said, daddy said, "Well, Leah's older, and the older's supposed to get married first, and I figured she'd be married before the 7 years is up, and nobody come along on her, she got to have her. And boy, old Jacob went back, and I'll guarantee you he thought about that night he went in and put that hair on his arm and put it up to his daddy and said, yeah, I'm his brother. I'm Esau. You see, it always comes back around, people. It always comes back around. However you treat people, that's how you're going to get treated. You're good, it'll come back to you. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Now, there's three things. There's a lot of stories in the Bible, I can tell you like that. And it goes all the way through the Word of God. It's amazing. It's amazing. Now, I'm going to tell you three truths about this great scripture. Number one, God is not mocked. Number two, you reap what you sow. Number three, you reap more than you sow. Number one, God is not mocked. I used to tell Carrie, my oldest daughter, when she was little, me and her used to be going down the road, and we'd laugh and cut up when he was going down the road, and I'd say, Carrie, you remember this. You can fool some of the people some of the time. And you can fool all the people every now and then, and some of them once in a while, and some of them all the time, and all of them some of the time, and all that. And then we'd look at each other and grin and say, but you can't fool God. And I want to tell you the same thing tonight, people. You can fool me, you can fool your husband, you can fool your wife, you can fool your daddy, you can fool your mama, but you can't fool God. You can't fool God. God's not mocked. He knows everything you're at doing, where you're at, midnight, Friday night, Saturday night. I said one time there's a man out in his neighbor's yard stealing taters out of his neighbor's garden. And this man was out there, and he told his little boy, he said, I'm going to show you how to steal taters, son. Well, ain't nobody else. He said, all you got to do is look this way, look that way, look this way, look that way, and reach down and grab them. And his little boy pulled his shirt and said, hey, Daddy, you forgot to look up. Amen. Amen. You forgot to look up. There's a lot of people in the world saying, well, so-and-so looking, so-and-so. Ain't nobody looking. You look up early, somebody looking.
Yeah, right.
And he's got a tape recorder taking down everything you've done. He's got it recorded, man. God is not mocked. You've got to understand this verse of Scripture. You cannot sow bad habits and reap a good character. You kids listen to me? All you teenagers hear me tonight? You cannot sow bad habits and reap a good character. Did you hear me? I said you cannot sow. You can't fool around with dirty movies and fooling around with drugs and alcohol and playing around with sex and stuff like that and reap a good character. It'll make a pervert out of you. You hear me? God's not mocked. You cannot sow bad habits and reap good character. You cannot sow hatred and reap friendship. You cannot sow wicked thoughts and reap a clean life. You cannot sow self-indulgence and not show it in your face. Well, I can look at the teenagers and tell which one of them's sinning 9 times out of 10 just by the look on your face. When you're right with God, you sit there and just smile at your Bible. It don't bother you what I preach. When you're backslid, here's the way you look at me. It means you got sin in your life. God's not mocked. God's not mocked. You can't sow dishonesty and reap integrity. You can't sow disrespect and reap respect. You can't sow deception and reap confidence. You can't sow cruelty and reap kindness. You can't sow cowardice and reap courage. You can't sow greed and reap generosity. You can't sow neglect of the Bible and reap a well-guided, God-ordained life. You can't sow thistles and reap roses. God's not mocked. He said these fellas was going to beat this guy up. He was taking pictures, you know, years ago. Or these old guys, you know, they used to come to town, they'd have them big sheets, they'd throw their head and take a camera and take your picture like this, and you'd pay them so much. And they said these three guys got their picture took, and they said, let's just beat the guy up and get all his money. They beat him up, got his money, run left town. But they forgot something. That negative in that camera. And all they had to do was just go and have it developed and look it up, and there's the three crooks. I heard about somebody who up north somewhere, they backed up to a yard and stole everything somebody had out of their house. And they backed up into a big snowy bank and they backed into it going out and left the perfect print of their license plate. Right in that snow. There's always something going to get you. There's always something going to get you. You say, nobody knows what I'm doing. The Lord knows. You say, I got to hear from everybody. No, you don't. God knows. And the Bible said God's not mocked. You hear me? He knows everything you're doing. And he's got writing it down. You can pull the wool over your mama's eyes. You can pull the wool over your daddy's eyes or your kid's eyes or your son's or daughter's eyes. But you can't fool God. Point number two. You reap what you sow. In our daily lives right now. If you don't eat right, the body falls apart. If you don't exercise, you just turn to flab. I mean, it's everywhere you look. You reap what you sow. Now, a lot of people believe that till it comes to living for God. My daddy, we used to plant a garden when I was little, and daddy always had a garden every year. And he'd say, "All right, son, get out there. I'm going to make you help in the garden." We'd get out there, and he'd plow it all up. And he'd take a tiller, you know, and go through it there and chop it up real good and get that ground real fine. And then he'd lay off rows. And what he'd do is lay them rows off just straight as he could. And he'd go about that far, lay another row off, go about that far, lay another row off. And you know what daddy'd do? He'd go up here at the FCX, right here, used to be sitting right there where y'all sat. And he'd buy a bunch of seed and stuff like that. And buy corn. And he'd buy tomato plants. And he'd buy some things to plant potatoes and biscuits for you that from up north in the city. We'd plant a biscuit bush and pick biscuits off of it. But anyway, he'd lay them rows off, and daddy'd say, "Now you take two or three of these little things of corn, you put it in there, and you skip about that far, put some more corn in, skip about that far, put some more corn in, skip about that far, put some more in." We get it all lined up down there. And then he'd tell me, "Now you cover it up." And I'd take the hoe, go down through there, and cover it up. He said, "Don't cover it up too deep. Cover it up deep enough." Boy, we'd cover it up. Then we'd water it. And you know what he'd do? They'd always take a little stick and stick it up at the end and put that little corn pouch on there or whatever so you'd know that them rows is corn. How many of you done that? Raise your hand. You know what I'm talking about. And you'd take them little tomato plants. They'd put sticks on them and tie strings to them and put them up. Now listen, they ain't no farmer in North Carolina dumb enough to stand there and think, "Well, I know that I planted corn in my garden. But I tell you what, if I just believe, and I'm sincere, I believe I'll get green beans. I believe I'll get green beans." And I've just been raised all my life to believe corn comes up. But I think if I think positive thoughts and raise my self-esteem and go to my psychiatrist and she'll tell me I'll get beans out there. I just know I will. You are a nut. That's what you are. You're a nut. I don't care what you believe. I don't care. You can bow down to the sun and moon and stars, and you can have visions and stay out and play cards all night and better have dreams and see angels appear in your room and everything else. There ain't no beans going to come up where you plant corn. Whatever you plant is going to come up. Now the same way is true of your life. What'd you do last night? Teenagers? What'd you do last night? You know what you're doing? You're putting seed in your garden. It's going to come back to you one day. I got to think, what was I doing last night? I was preaching. Whew, thank God. I got some good seed in the ground last night. We had a little service over there, and buddy, God got real. That little church got tore all to pieces. There's a little gray-headed fellow about that high come up and saying, "Something got a hold of me." And buddy, I when I got to preaching, it got real. People started crying. Two kids got saved. It was great. It was a great service. And I went down the road thinking, glory to God. I'll get to reap that one these days. I wish I could say that about every day. I can't. I wish I could say that everything I put in my garden in my life has been right and good, but it's not been. And I reap that out too. And am reaping it. And will reap it. Don't gripe about the harvest when you're the one put the seeds in your field. Amen? Amen. Some of them people sow their wild oats all day and then come in and pray for a crop failure. There's a man up here in the mountains several years ago, run over a girl, he's drunk, and run over a little kid and killed it. And 10 years later, was walking down that same road drunk and somebody ran over him and killed him. Same spot. It don't always happen in 10 years. It don't always happen in 5 years. But it always comes back. See, there's some verses in the Bible, you don't have to prove them. Just watch them. They happen. I can prove this verse is true. One man said, "Oh, they ain't no verse. You can't prove a Bible's true." You can this verse. You reap what you sow. You'll reap what you sow. You say, oh, nobody knows the Bible's true. Yes, we do. We know that verse is. Like that one fellow, he said, oh, you can't prove one verse in the Bible. One fellow said, I sure can. He said, prove me one verse. He said, all right, if you want me to. He said, right, I go, pow, socked him in the nose and blood just poured down his nose. He said, you crazy thing, what'd you do that for? He said, you told me to prove something in the Bible. He said, what'd you do that for? He said, the Bible said the ringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. Amen. Prove to you the Bible's true, just like that. That's right. Now, this is one of them verses like that. This one of them verses like that. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. If you put corn, corn's coming up. Sit around and watch dirty movies all the time. Dirty junk's going to come up in your life, and your life ain't going to be happy. You're going to wind up like them people in the movies. Amen? You know what? You women in here, you know why your life's like a soap opera? Because that's all you've ever put in your garden. Amen? Amen! Bible says you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Thirdly, you reap more than you sow. That's a law of nature. What do you mean by that? I'll tell you what I mean. You put one little grain of kernel, whatever it is, of corn in that ground, and that thing would come up and make a stalk that big around and leaves out like this and may have been